one of the things the Spirit released was the area of, you know, he always tells us things to come. And the anointing that I saw a mantle, cloak-like, being released. And as soon as it laid, and they were coming down, and as soon as it touched individuals, there was such a connection automatically made. Boom. And there was a feeding, there was a download to the individuals. And that person was taken right off the enemy's radar. And Friday night, we saw the anointing, and it was expressing a prophetic release about swords and about God raising up, in other words, the swords that were being released to his people, because we are entering a new battle session, a new battleground. And in this new battleground that we're entering, there will be a sword from the enemy that is coming in such a great way. But the Lord said, I'm sending my sword. And when the Lord said, I'm sending my sword, in other words, I'm sending my sword. When he says, I'm sending my sword to my body to use my sword. That's the sword of the Lord. And one of the things that I saw, the word chaos. And we are entering a time of such struggle and chaos. And because of the battle over wickedness and righteousness, you know, the enemy is not going to lay down. He will lie, cheat, deceive, do everything he can. He'll even kill his own people to distract, to gain way, to access, or to nullify anything that God's trying to do. And so in this time, the sword of the Lord, which is released to God's people, we will see much more uprisings. We will see more bloodshed. We will see more falling away. You know, judgment has begun in the house of God. It's been going on for a while. It will maintain in the house of God, but it's been released from the house of God to the world now. This is the season we've entered, the time. Now, judgment has been released from the house of God into the world. So the battles you can expect are going to be stronger. You will hear of more bloodshed. You'll see more people fall away. You'll see a lot of exposures, arrests, corruption being exposed. They will do everything that they can to prevent and sustain their position. But Jesus has the victory. Amen. But he's I don't want to say laid the responsibility, but he has. He's given you and I the responsibility to battle. Amen. Without a fight, you can't win nothing. Nothing. He gave us a formula, pick up your cross, right? First, you got to deny yourself, pick up the cross, which means pick up the sword and fight, and then you can follow. Many people have a hard time first denying themselves. They can't even pick up the sword and fight. They're too busy occupying their time, occupying themselves. God is bringing us to this place right now, an area to where he wants to awaken something in us. Awaken something in us. There's going to be exchanges made. Again, when there is a connection to the spirit realm of Christ, there's a different life that we live. We live a life, even though we are in the world, But we live a life of heaven in the world, not according to worldly ways, but according to godly ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 9. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I has not seen nor ear heard. These are called senses. The things which God has prepared for those who love him, those who love him, follow him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Where's his notebook? But God has revealed them to us through his what? Give him a piece of paper and let him take notes. We are in a training session. Amen? This is not a place to puff up your soul. We are being trained to become warriors. And paper don't forget. How can you teach what you haven't taken notes of? Amen? Everyone in this room that comes to every class, you are responsible to teach what you learned before God. You are responsible to teach what you learned. We are called to be teachers. Amen? Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Who searches the deep things of God? The Spirit. The Spirit. So is it important to be connected into the Spirit? Amen. Or else you won't get the things. You'll live a carnal life, calling yourself a Christian, being pacified by all the worldly entertainments, wasting your time. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Again, no one knows anything about the spirit realm but the Spirit of God. So if you're not connected to the Spirit of the Lord, listen, you'll know by your own fruits. You'll know by what your desires are. You'll know by what you're spending more time doing. Oh, hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, the spirit of entertainment. Hello? The spirit of the world of carnal senses. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Because there's a constant flow. When there's a connection, there's a constant flow. You know who you are. Your identity is established. You know everything's going to work to the good. There's no fear involved. There's no worry involved. You become more sensitive. And there's something that begins to happen. There's an exchange. There's an awakening of your senses that have now been turned over to the senses of the eternal realm, not the temporary realm. Does everybody understand this? In Zechariah chapter 4. Awakening Your Senses is today's title. Zechariah chapter 4. Now you have five senses. There's also a fivefold ministry. Your senses are sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Your senses are sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Remember, it is the Spirit of the Lord. You know, many people don't even realize that. We praise and even we worship in the flesh until there's connection. If there's no connection, it's still in the flesh. People quote scriptures in the flesh until there's connection. Without connection, it's all flesh. Zechariah 4, verse 1, let's speak it. Now the angel who talked with me came back and what? Wakened me. As a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? Listen, when your senses are awakened, you're going to see things that you didn't see before. Or you'll get night vision. Verse 2. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the side, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me measured and said to me, answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by what? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. In other words, not by your strength, not by your might, not by anything natural, physical, or carnal, but by my Spirit. Nothing. It's either flesh or spirit, one or the other. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he said, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. Everyone say, I'm a temple. The foundation is the anointing. Does everybody get it? The foundation's the anointing. It's not knowledge. It's the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. His hands shall also finish it. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and he said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones, say anointed ones, who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Wow. Now, these two anointed ones, we're going to go to in a minute. Again, here is the arena where the Spirit has been connected and awakening has taken place. Awakened to see, not by might of the flesh, not by power of the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God's presence, power, and truth in Christ Jesus. The two anointed olive trees, these are Moses and Elijah. Moses battled serpents. Moses was dead, buried, and then taken. His body was taken. Elijah called down fire from heaven. Moses changed the water into blood. With Moses, the plagues followed him. Elijah beheaded 400 prophets. It's a fight. He not only called down fire from heaven to devour, but Elijah was taken alive. He was taken up alive. These are the two anointed ones that are behind or next to the throne of God, which are always feeding in the area of the anointing. As we praise and worship, sometimes if your eyes are open, you'll see oil begin to pour out. Golden oil begins to fall. In Matthew 17. And what happens when the anointing begins to come? There's a transfiguration in your life. We are regenerated from the glory to glory. It's a regeneration of the Holy Spirit. You can resist it, or you can dive into it. After 6 days, verse 1, verse 17, chapter 17. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Everyone say, hear him.
Hear him.
And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Then they had lifted up their eyes and they saw no one but Jesus alone again in his natural state. But his true natural state is when he was transfigured. He was actually cloaked with human character. Remember, Jesus was not truly human, even though he put on a human form. His body was not made from dust, it was made from the Word. His blood was created by himself. He was the walking spirit. That's why when people saw him, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. He had nothing to do of this world, but to be in this world and bringing heaven into this world. He was not attached or connected to anything here except for his creation that he loved and created. That's why he came. The devil had nothing in him or over him. He came and willfully laid down his life for me and you. He could have just destroyed the whole universe, wiped it all out, and started over. I know that's what most of us would have done. Forget it. Boom, kill them all. Anyways. The transfiguration is a representation of new birth of the Spirit. It was an awakening to a new plane of reality. Awakening to a new plane of reality. See, when we're truly connected to the plane of reality where God is, everything is different. Everything. Everything you do, everywhere, everything is involved. The Lord's always involved. Every decision, every movement, every discussions, God is always there. There's always that connection. Again, a transfiguration is of a new birth of the Spirit. It's an awakening to a new plane of reality with awakened senses now. Your senses are different. In fact, your senses are no longer a stumbling block to you. They're a service to you. They now serve you. Does everybody get it? But when you were living in the world, our senses, we served. We served our senses. We served our emotions. We served everything. Until we were born again of the Spirit. The problem is people get born again of the Spirit and get disconnected. They don't stay connected. Ephesians 2. Awakening your senses. Ephesians 2, first three verses, everybody there? It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." You and I were made alive. In other words, when it says you and I were made alive, we were made awakened. We were awakened. We were awakened to set free, to be freed from the control of worldly senses of the old man or human nature. Now these senses, you know, they receive information. They grab hold of all kinds of stimuli. They're like mini antennas that are always looking out for what's up. And again, when you're connected, truly connected, you are seeing through the natural. You actually know who's lying and who doesn't. Now you're waiting and you're hearing from the Lord. You're hearing a voice. And that voice that you hear from God is bringing counsel, correction, and direction. Now you're tasting the goodness of the Lord. And your desire is to touch Him because He's touching you. And you can discern what is unclean before even touching it because your senses have already warned you. But if there's disconnect, you won't know any of that. Everything will still be natural. Still live in a world of deception. Again, we are made alive, we're awakened to be set free from the control of the worldly senses of the old man and human nature that perceive information from our senses. We are known as children of the flesh, children of lust, and the wrath of God. Because there was no respect or fear of the Lord. None. 2 Timothy 2. So, to fulfill destiny, which we have been talking about, your senses must be awakened. If they're not awakened, you cannot fulfill destiny. You'll be successful in your own assignment, and it'll be wrong. That's the worst thing that can happen to us, right? Be successful in the wrong assignment? There's a lot of successful people out there. Unfortunately, they weren't. They're not in God's destiny. They're on their own. 2 Timothy 2, chapter, verse 21. "Therefore, if anyone does what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor." Now again, cleansing oneself, that's a separation of removal of all things of old. Cleansing ourselves from the things that we are entangled with. Cleansing ourselves from the things that we attached ourselves to. Cleansing ourselves from the things that we used to build on. Cleansing ourselves from wasted time. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter life, he will be a vessel of honor, separated, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Why? Because everything's awakened now. He has a new spirit, a converted soul, and awakened senses. Let's go a little further. "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call out on the Lord of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle, able to what? Teach. And patient, endure. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their what? That they may come to their what? What senses? Physical senses? No. Eternal senses. That's how they got in this position from the beginning. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Because there was never an exchange of senses. God is desiring that we come to these eternal senses and escape the devil's capture to do his will. We must become awakened by connection to the third dimensional plane of reality. It is the third dimensional plane of reality in the spirit, not in the flesh. Flesh profits nothing. Nothing. There is nothing to do with eternity of the flesh. Nothing. Nothing. No matter what we build, no matter what we do, anything in the flesh means stinking nothing eternally. Nothing. Unless the anointing is there and it's built by the anointing. Only things that are built by the anointing count. Anything else does not count. Nothing. People are going to go home and they're going to find out, man, I did all of this stuff. Ain't nothing there. Galatians 5. You can't have faith without the anointing. Amen. People try to step out in faith. I'm stepping out in faith. If the anointing lamp is not there, there's no faith. Everything is backed by the anointing, or is rubbish. Galatians 5:16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you don't do the things that you desire or that you sense. But if you are led by the Spirit, woohoo! You're not under the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he gives us the understanding of the works of the flesh. These are also associated with carnal senses. That entice, that stimulate. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, in other words, anointed, under the anointing, in the anointing, living in the Spirit, have crucified the flesh. With its what? Passions and its desires. And its senses. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another, because you'll nullify yourself. Walking in the Spirit is awakened to the third dimensional reality, awakened senses, avoiding the flesh, and sensing or discerning all evil influences. Because your senses are awakened. Now there's an area after your senses become awakened that they must be trained. Practice makes what? Perfect. Practice makes perfect. Malachi 3. Is everybody okay? The enemy will try to draw you into the ring in the flesh. He'll try to entice you to come in the ring and battle him in the flesh, and you will lose. You got to remember something, because now there's more demonic activity in this country than it has ever been. More demons have been released because there's more evil going on in this country. There's more bloodshed. There's more murder of children. There's more abductions. There's more sexual perversion. All kinds of things. There's more evil and wickedness in this country than there has ever been. So there's more demonic forces, more demons being released that are affecting people, trying to draw them in. Trying to draw them into the ring. Try to entice them. Try to mess with their senses. And they will. If your senses are not awakened and connected to the Spirit, we will not be able to sense what's coming. You know, too many people rely on how they feel. Feeling and senses are two different things. Amen. You're a person who lives how you feel, you are dangerous to yourself and to others. Well, it's just how I feel. Well, I don't care how you feel. Get over it. Man up and woman up and get connected. So your senses, your eternal senses are now working for you. Because your carnal senses will work against you. Malachi 3:16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Malachi 3:16. Let's speak it together. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. For those who what? Fear the Lord. And who meditate on his name. Whoa, are they connected? Yes. What does the Lord say? He said, they shall be what? Mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my what? Jewels, precious. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern. You shall again discern. You shall begin again to sense. Between the righteous and the wicked. And between one who serves God and one who does not. Does everybody understand this? I'm telling you, there's so many. My spirit was so grieved because there's so many people that are disconnected and their senses are working against them instead of for them because they're carnal. Caught in oppression, heaviness, shame, guilt, unworthiness, fear. All of this other stuff to the world. Their senses are so attached to every stinking thing in the world, they can't come out of themselves. They live a life of woe is me. They live a life of blame. They live a life that's not pleasing to God. Because their senses have become dull. Everybody okay? They shall be mine. They'll be mine, connected to the third dimensional plane of reality by the Spirit and his anointing to discern or sense righteousness and wickedness. They're going to discern and sense those who are imposters. Those who are true servants by the heart. In Hebrews 5. So, that's the first word here. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he what? How many of y'all love suffering? Woo-hoo! You're not going to learn nothing if you don't love suffering. People avoid suffering as much as they can. I mean, there's a difference of self-infliction, suffering, you know what I'm saying? But it's still suffering. God can still work it through. But man, don't get caught up in your sufferings. Use them for your benefit. Amen? Learn so you don't get burned again. Verse 9. And having been what? Perfected through what? Suffering. Oh, hallelujah. How we love suffering. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become what?
Dull
of hearing. In other words, your senses became what? Dull. No longer able to perceive. No longer able to hear. No longer able to see. The only thing that your senses are grasped hold of is everything carnally. Soulish fulfillment, flesh fulfillment. Now, in this, we got to understand again, your spirit man has been new, made new. Amen? Now, your soul needs to maintain a conversion, a process of constantly converting. And your senses need to be exchanged or awakened. When these all three fall into line, there's a true connection and the anointing is flowing. You are sensing things that you didn't sense before. You are seeing things that you didn't see before. You are hearing things. You become more clear. Clarity, perception is different. You are able to hear the voice of the Lord that speaks, telling not only things to come, but prophetically, for warning. Does everybody understand that? He's telling you. Hallelujah. Revelation 3. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to stay in the spirit, you know. Hallelujah. Verse 14. I want to stay connected before I kill somebody. Verse 14, is everybody there? And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Come on, read it with me. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And because you say I'm rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and disconnected, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and what? Repent, turn away. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, there's an arena where he says, I counsel you to buy from me. A lukewarm condition is an unstable condition. It's where a soul becomes disconnected, no longer in the process of conversion. And the spirit becomes contaminated, the senses become dull and disconnected from the plane of reality where the eternal Godhead, the counsel, and home dwell. Unable to fulfill destiny. Unable to fulfill destiny. In Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Now this is getting ready to occur. We talked about the sword of the Lord coming. Verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. And I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. Again, the sword of the Lord will come to judge through the headless army. We have entered this time in explosive, or actually I want to say high exposure. It started in the body of Christ in judgment and has now entered the world. We will see again more disasters, sicknesses, accidents, fires, floods, economic collapses, bloodshed, scandals, arrests, trials, death, and much shaking. It is to awaken and position. It is to release the captives and establish justice and righteousness in all the earth for a season. Remember when Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. What did the enemy tempt him with? Taste, hunger. Remember, the Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. That sword is still here. It's been translated over to the body of Christ. We carry the sword of the Lord. What you and I are now proclaiming and professing, prophetic words are being released. What we're calling destructive fire down, our warfare and prayer, is the sword of the Lord that's now attacking and entering all planes of every area of the globe. In Psalm 71, you know, without a desire, there's no cause. Without a desire, there is no cause. If we lack desire, then we lack cause. Does everybody get that? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? 71 verse 1. Let's speak it. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Cause me to escape. Why did he have a cause? Because he had a desire. Amen? Psalm 37. Can desires be altered?
Yes.
Yes, they can. Can they be altered by your senses?
Yes.
Oh, you betcha. So is it important to keep your senses awakened and trained?
Amen.
Psalm 37, verse 1. Let's do it. Do not fret because of what? Evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land as feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. Now, and this is something important because he's always saying not only commit, but trust, rest, and wait. One of the things many people have a hard time with is waiting. Waiting takes endurance. Amen? Waiting takes trust. You can see here that he's talking about all kinds of senses. Feed, rest, wait, endure, correct. All of these things. God brings us counsel, correction, and direction. We are to wait. We are to trust until the counsel, correction, and direction comes. Too many people move because the enemy's influencing their senses. And they become fearful. And they become anxious. Amen? I want you to grab hold of something. When you are connected, when that connection comes, all natural gives way to the spiritual. All temporary is swallowed up by the eternal. When there's that true connection. Again, I want to say it again. When that connection comes and the senses, your senses, are now awakened, you are now connected to the eternal plane of reality. Everything that is fleshly, natural, is now swallowed up. Swallowed up by the spiritual, the eternal. Everything is now swallowed up. There's no more desire for you. There's no more looking at you. All temporary purposes and ideas and plans and all things are swallowed up. Everything is swallowed up. And the only thing that's left is his will. His purpose, his calling, and his destiny for us. And that's where we live, into that place. That is truly walking in the Spirit. It is not about anything else. It's not about you and anyone else. You're no longer relying on anybody. You are set apart. It's only you and him. That's it. Everything is swallowed up. Relationships, everything. Nothing matters anymore. And everything else that comes is a blessing because you see it backed by the hand of God. But you're able to discern whether the enemy's sending it or God is sending it. Because you're connected. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, get connected. That's why the word says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide by the shadow of the Almighty. It says, no plagues nor pestilence shall touch you. Amen? Does everybody get that? You are covered and you are protected. Again, can't touch this. Amen? Do. Psalm 34. And we'll close here. Psalm 34. Verse 1, let's speak it. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. I will bless the Lord when I'm in trouble. I will bless the Lord when I'm not in trouble. I will bless the Lord when I need something. How about if I bless the Lord when I don't need something? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Hallelujah. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. You know, so many times people are waiting on God and he's saying, would you mind seeking me? I got your letter in the mail. Sometimes people write letters to God. If they would just seek him and find him, there would be no problem. It's not a long distance relationship. We are the temple of God. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked at him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Anybody in trouble, don't raise your hand. God's able. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. How many people can an angel of the Lord kill at one time? 185,000. Slam. And we get legions of them. So what's the problem? Dull senses. That's the problem. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack or want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who what? Seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be. Awakening your senses and training them. Praise God. Father, we are honored and blessed. Thank you for your word and prepare us for what's getting ready to come. Thank you for the sword that has been released and the prophetic word that's been released. And Lord, we just ask today that you'll bring to remembrance and quicken us that which has been released today into our spirit. In Jesus' name. Prepare your hearts for communion. And if you have any tithes and offerings, you may bring them up.